This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the first 10 verses, Luke 19, 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not because of the press, for he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he has become a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here we find the story of the conversion of a sinner that prompted Jesus to explain to the people the purpose of his coming. I think that the church has made a mistake by setting aside one day of the year in which we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. I do not believe that that should be a one day out of the year celebration. I believe that that should be celebrated every day of the year. When we think of the purpose of his coming, why did Jesus come? The purpose of his coming is so significant to us today. It's something that is cause for celebration continually. Jesus declared, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'd like to give you just a little bit of a backdrop to this scene that we're looking at this morning of this man, Zacchaeus. Back in the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 31, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he is saying, we must now go to Jerusalem in order that all of the prophecies, the things that were said of me by the prophets, might be fulfilled. This caused excitement in the hearts of his disciples because they were thinking of those prophecies that declared that he shall sit upon the throne of David and order it and establish it in righteousness and in judgment from henceforth, even forever. And they were thinking those prophecies where he was going to reign and establish the kingdom of God. But he clarified himself, though they did not understand him. And he said, For as the scriptures say, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. He will be mocked, he'll be spit upon, he'll be rejected, he'll be scourged, and he'll be slain. But the third day he will rise again. But they just could not comprehend that. And they thought that they were in the triumphant march to Jerusalem to overthrow the Roman garrison and to establish God's kingdom upon the earth. He had to share his secret alone. In his heart, he knew that it wasn't a royal throne and a royal crown to be placed upon his head when he came in Jerusalem, but he knew the crown would be of thorns, the thorns that existed because of the curse for man's sins. And he knew that there he would die for the sins of the world, and thus he was going to pay the price in order that he might save man from his sins. And so as he is coming from the Jordan River, he's approaching the little village of Jericho, that lush little village in the Jordan Valley. And as he is coming in towards town, there's a blind man there. And he hears the crowd of people passing by. He hears the mention of the name of Jesus. And he knew who Jesus was. He had heard of his fame. And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those that were around him said, "Shut up, blind man. You're distracting people." But he only cried the louder, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and he said, "Bring the blind man to me." And it said, and he left his coat and he came to Jesus. That coat was the one that was worn by beggars. It was a sign that he was a beggar. But he left it because he knew that in a few moments he would never need that coat again. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "What would you that I would do for you?" He said, "Oh, Lord, if I could just see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made thee whole." And immediately he was able to see. And he followed Jesus in the way. And Jesus came to Jericho. And as he was passing through Jericho, there was a little fellow in the city of Jericho whose name was Zacchaeus. He was very curious as to the cause of the crowd. He did not know who Jesus was because it says he climbed into the tree in order that he might see who he was. He did not know who Jesus was. But he was attracted by the crowd and curious. Who in the world is this man that all of the people are thronging around? What would be his attractive force that he could attract so many people? And curious as to who Jesus was, desiring to see him, he had another problem. And that is, he was short. And thus he could not see over the crowd. But even a further problem. He was the chief tax collector in that area, and so he was public enemy number one. He dared not try and make his way through the crowd. Because if he tried to elbow his way through the crowd, it would have been disaster. For everybody saying, "You collected from me, did you? Woof," you know. And they'd be giving him the elbow and the punch. And it would have been just disastrous for him to try and make his... He wouldn't dare go into a crowd of people. He'd be pummeled. But he was still curious. And so he saw that Jesus was going down this particular street. And so he ran down the street in front of Jesus and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order that from that safe perch above the crowd, he could look down and get a view of this man who was attracting so many people. And as he was sitting there and the crowd was approaching him and all of the excitement of the crowd and all as they were thronging around Jesus, as he was able to gaze upon this man in the midst of the crowd, to his amazement, Jesus came to the very tree in which he had perched himself and looked up and called him by his name. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide at your house today." And he shinnied down that tree in a hurry and received Jesus joyfully. Now at this point in the story, as Jesus goes into the house of Zacchaeus, the doors are closed. And we're standing with the crowd outside here in the Gospel of Luke. We don't know what is being said inside. Oh, we can hear their laughter as they're eating together and seeming to have a great time and enjoying fellowship with each other. But then there are those long moments of silence when Jesus must be speaking to this man, speaking to him about life and the things of life, the true values of life, about salvation and eternal life. We don't know what was said. We're with the crowd outside. We know what they're saying. The Pharisees are going around looking very pompous, and they're saying, "He's in there staying with a sinner." And they're finding fault with Jesus because he was daring to fellowship with a man who was such a notable rogue, the chief of the tax collectors. But presently, the doors are open. And again, we're invited into the scene. And we see this little man standing there before Jesus. There's a shine and a glow now upon his face as he is looking at Jesus. And he said, "The half of my riches I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from a man dishonestly, I'm going to give it back to him fourfold." And we hear Jesus answering, "Today, salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as you have now become a son of Abraham." That is, a son of Abraham in a true sense, not a physical descendant, but a spiritual descendant. For Abraham was the father of those who were to believe, the true believers. And so he had become, by his faith, a true son of Abraham. And now Jesus turns to those who had been on the outside murmuring and finding fault. And he explains to them the very purpose of his mission. And as he says to them, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I do not know what Jesus said to him, but I do know that when Zacchaeus entered through those doors, his life was mastered by greed. Now, in a little while, as the doors are open once more, he's a changed man, for his life is now mastered by generosity. Someone asked, "Do you believe in instantaneous conversion?" And my answer is, yes, I do. Here was a man whose chief goal in life was only getting from others. Now suddenly, 180 degrees, his chief goal of life is giving to others. What could have possibly brought such a dramatic change, instantaneous change in the life of a man? Only the power of the Word. The Word of Jesus Christ. That same power in the Word of Christ is available today. The Scripture said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Oh, what power there is in the words of Jesus Christ to our hearts today. Life-changing power. He can change the center of your life. If your life is mastered by greed, avarice, whatever, he is able to change you and turn you around in just a short time, as he did this little man, Zacchaeus. What a dramatic change. And then Jesus explained to the people, almost an apology, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In another place, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repent, but sinners. And in another place, he said, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. It's interesting that they were always finding fault with Jesus because he kept company with sinners. But he explained, hey, that's why I'm here. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. What does it mean to be lost? It means that you are out of fellowship with God. And if you are out of fellowship with God, you are living a wasted life. The Lord said of Judas, it were better for that man if he had never been born. I wonder of how many people does the Lord make that statement? If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you're not walking in fellowship with God, it has been just, you'd have been better off had you never been born. For your life is a total waste. The Bible tells us that if a person is mastered by the desire for pleasure, and if you're living only for pleasure, you are dead while you're still alive. You really don't know what life is about. You don't understand the purposes of God in creating man. Life is empty and life is futile if Christ is not at the center of your life. You're lost. You're lost to yourself. You'll never achieve or attain that which God intended for you in life. You'll never really know why you were here. You can spend your whole life just spinning your wheels and getting nowhere and ending up feeling empty and frustrated. But you're also a loss to your family. You'll never be that influence that God intended you to be. You'll never be that guiding light for the family to really be the influence of godliness and righteousness to lead them in the way that God would have the family to go. You're a loss to the community. You're a part of the darkness of this whole age. You're not being that light that the Lord would have you to be to help men out of darkness. When is a person lost? Well, you're lost now. But worse than that, the Bible tells us that one day we're all going to stand before the judgment throne of God. And those whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake burning with fire. This is the second death, lost eternally. How is a person lost? Several years ago, someone had an attractive little tract printed up. It was on a business card. And on the face of the card, it said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the simple answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then down in the bottom corner, it said, "Over." And as you turn the card over, on the back it said, "What must I do to be lost?" And in big, bold, black letters, it said, "Nothing." You see, according to the Bible, you were a born loser. You were born in a lost condition. Do nothing about Jesus Christ. Ignore him. Just go on living as you are, pursuing after life as you are, pushing after your goals, striving after your ambitions. Just keep doing exactly what you're doing, following your own will, your own ambitions, and you'll be lost. You may achieve your ambitions, but you'll still be lost. If you do nothing about your relationship with God, you are lost. Jesus said, "He that believeth not is condemned already, seeing he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God." This is the condemnation. Light came into the world, but they would not come to the light, lest their evil deeds be reproved. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You see, you're lost already. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work at that. You don't have to do anything to be lost. You are lost if you do not have Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, "Hey, that's why I came. For I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." And what does he do? As he comes into your life, he turns your life around. And rather than living now a self-centered life, you begin to live a Christ-centered life. And rather than being mastered by greed and the desire to get, you soon become mastered by generosity and the desire to give. Rather than being mastered by jealousy and envy and strife, you're mastered now by love. Oh, what a glorious life it is when Christ is at the center and the center of my life has been changed. How broadening it is. From that narrow limit of myself to the eternal limits of God's kingdom. When I'm living not for myself, but I'm living now for Him and the kingdom of God. The Son of Man has come to seek. The Lord has been seeking after you. You have been lost. And he's been seeking. Maybe you found yourself like Zacchaeus, sort of up a tree, cornered. The Lord is standing, he said, at the door. And he said, "I'm knocking. And if any man will open the door, I'll come in. I'll abide with him." The Lord wants to do for you what he did for Zacchaeus. And he's actually inviting himself. Knocking on the door. "Zacchaeus, come down. I've got to stay at your house today." "I must," he said. The Lord is saying to some of you, "Hey, I must come and visit you today. I've got to stay at your house. I've got something to say to you." Oh, what a day when you open the door and ask him to come on in. What a life-changing experience. When Jesus Christ comes in and abides with you, not for a moment, but it becomes something eternal. He's seeking you. He will save you if you will just open your heart to Him. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you did come in order to bring us to the Father, in order to wash us and to cleanse us from our past unrighteousness, and to make us new persons, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, work in our hearts today, and may the doors be swung open to invite you to come in, that we might just sit down and fellowship together. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you came to seek and to save those who were lost. I'm so thankful, Lord, you found me. Or better, I found you. And in finding you, found myself. Lord, I pray today that there might be others here who will really find you and find themselves. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Can that be said of you? Or are you a part of the darkness of the world around you? You see, you're one or the other. If your life is not as a light shining, then it is just adding to the darkness. God help us, how dark is the world in which we live. How desperate is the need for light. The Lord is knocking today. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to put you on the right path. He will if you'll just give him the chance. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room over here on the far right of the auditorium, and the pastors will be back there after the service to pray with you that you might find Jesus and find that salvation that he has offered and all of the resultant joy and fellowship with God and everything that goes with it, the fringe benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you this week in his love. And may you be guided by his Holy Spirit as you walk in fellowship with him. May indeed your life become as a shining light, guiding others into the right path in the way of truth and righteousness in Jesus Christ. May God bless you and make you a blessing. In Jesus' name.